Alan, good morning and
good
lovely
morning.
To meet you.
Wonderful to be here.
So this week, as I mentioned, you've been in Emerald giving workshops on family business, that sort of generational knowledge being passed along.
Yes.
Trying to facilitate if there are some disagreements in how the businesses are run.
Or keeping away from them.
Keeping away from them, that's right. You'll be doing the same in Rockhampton next week.
That's correct.
So how do you tackle this?
How do I tackle it? Firstly, I have an amazing belief that everybody intrinsically wants to do well and get on. And I never lose sight of that. And I'm always searching and looking for it. And over the years, I've studied what are the micro behaviours that allow us to have rapport, credibility and get agreement. I think we're so much better at debate and argument than we are.
Where does it go wrong then, Alan?
It goes, if I can be the behavioural scientist for a minute.
Sure.
It goes wrong with about 20 tiny little behaviours that we do that muck it up. And the first one is, I'm going to jump in and interrupt you mid-sentence. Mm. Yep. And you're then going to feel unheard. Mm-hmm. Now, I only have to do that 4 or 5 times in a meeting in this family of 8 of us. And all of a sudden, you become quiet.
Mm. And seize.
If that happens at the next family meeting, you turn up the third one and you don't talk at all.
And those lines of communication are going.
And it was never ever mentioned. Yes. But in between those meetings, I never spoke to the person who did it. Yes. So interrupting. Now, if we just interrupted, it'd be okay. But we interrupt with yeah, but. Mm. Now, yeah, but quietly says, I'm invalidating what you're saying, diminishing the value of what you're saying.
Okay.
And then you say something, I go, no, no, no. Now, funny thing is, it's always no, no, no. It's always free. And the hand gestures go up, like a policeman with a stop signal. So we do that. We forget to acknowledge what somebody says. So if we did nothing else, but every time you speak, I make some comment or reference to what you said so that you got that I heard it and it went in. And then I added what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
If we could do that one behaviour change. Now, I put it to you to be provocative,
yes,
given that you've had the Prime Minister in this morning, and I do this with total respect to him. And you've never seen that happen in question time in Parliament, ever. But the yeah, but, and they take it further. They do ridicule, denigration, yell over the top of each other. And then we wonder why we've got a problem with bullying in school. Kids have seen that and think it's okay.
The discussions that you've had over the last couple of days in Emerald, the businesses or family businesses, and I'm imagining a lot of them are farming.
They were all farming families. And half of them had off-farm businesses as well as on-farm businesses. Yeah.
Had they realised and recognised in themselves some of what you were saying when you explained some of this?
About half of them have either worked with the RCS organisation, the Resource Consulting Group, and they do a lot of good work around sustainable businesses for farmers, rural. And so some of them had worked with them. Some of them had worked with me with that group before. And a couple had worked with some of the school work that I'd been doing in the area. So about half of them had been there before. Mm. And the other half were completely, completely new. So, again, in that regard, I've got to manage it quite differently. So I break them into groups a lot. Sometimes I start them off, I break them up out of their family groups first.
Mm-hmm.
I get them to practice the skills with other people, and then we bring them together in the latter part to practice the skills with the family members.
Because it has been something that we've discussed a lot through the years, Alan, is that idea of succession planning and,
yes,
and just how,
yeah,
almost painful it can be for the older generation to let go.
It's a big one. The simple answer, Jackie, to that is if we started early, it wouldn't be as difficult. But we often leave it right until it's too late. And we often leave it until it's about asset distribution or wills. And at that point, it's sensitive stuff if you haven't done some work with it before. And your opening comments about exchanging knowledge and skill from one generation to the other, and in both directions. Can I get out of Dad the 1,000 things that he knows how to do and the things he reads about the patterns of the environment and the weather and how the herd behaves? How do I get that out of him? And how does he open his eyes and be excited by the fact that I bring these harebrained ideas and new technology that's unfamiliar with him? So it's really about how do we honour each other and be grateful for the skills we both bring, rather than protecting the ones or fighting for the ones I bring.
Yeah, and appreciating that we each have something to add to that conversation.
Yes,
yeah.
As we, the people who've grown up with computer technology, the more they have computer technology, the less they see with their eyes and ears. So the reading of the environment, they're going to need to go, as you did, to a computer to get the data.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, I remember, and I had a farm until 2 years ago, there was an old guy, and he must have been 80, and somebody would go, "Oh, do you think it's going to rain?" And he'd go, "Nah," he said, "the ants were walking too slow this morning." Now, most of us would never see the ants, let alone notice that one day they work faster and slower. Now, gathering data from a computer means that visual acuity will fade unless we honour that Dad's got these amazing skills that's just been turning up, and half the time Dad doesn't know what they are. So it does require this ongoing process. And I always say to people, just every time you're with somebody, ask them a what and a how question. What did you just do? How did you go about doing that? How did you know that? Oh, blah, blah, blah. What did you see that told you that? So if we do what and how, what and how, two times, every time we're with somebody else, it'd be amazing.
9:16 on ABC Capricornia. Communicator Alan Parker is with you this morning, and he's been delivering some generation-to-generation workshops in Emerald this week. Next week, he's doing exactly the same thing in Rockhampton. It strikes me, Alan, from listening to you, that there must be an element of frustration in debate, not just in politics, but in any kind of area at the moment, that there seems to be argument going out one way, but no reciprocation happening. A lot in society, just generally. Why do you think this is happening?
Let me be slightly academic for just two sentences. We don't know the difference between dialogue, discussion and debate. Debate is a competition and it's an argument and it's me winning and it's me putting you down and diminishing your point of view so that I win. Yeah. That's what a debate is. A discussion is where we exchange ideas. Now, there's not much inquiry in discussion. And there's virtually no questioning in debate unless it's a leading question to diminish you. Dialogue is about exploration. Dialogue's about drilling in to understand. So you say something, and in fact, I did an exercise with the group the other day. I said, I just finished a training program and went upstairs. And I said to them, What picture did you just make in your mind? And half of them had me in the clothes that I was in front of them, and half of them had me in a suit in Sydney, because I'm a bloke from the city. Yeah? And I said, no, I was in a pair of red running shorts, I was training. So they had me training people, but the story I was about to tell them, I was going for a training run. Yeah. And if we don't stop every now and again, what sort of training?
Yeah.
How are you dressed? Our assumptions, our hallucinations, our prejudgments. Oh, he's a city guy, he'll be in a suit. they permeate, and then we get into debate on assumption, opinion and judgment, and premature extrapolated conclusions, and then we're in trouble.
This is such a huge topic, and we've just dealt with it very, very briefly, but you are having conversations with lots of different groups in Queensland,
yes.
with schools,
yes.
With the Queensland Teachers
yes.
Union as well. What's your advice for us to develop healthy conversations with anyone that we come across, and especially those people that we may disagree with their viewpoint?
Well, first is be well prepared and well informed. Second is find the place that's appropriate. Third, and I think the vital point, is breathe, as you'll notice I do each time I pause. Make sure you get enough oxygen. And decide on the state physically, mentally and emotionally that you're going to be when you go in. And maintain that state. And make sure everything you do contributes to them being able to elicit that state as well.
What if
So if I'm perfectly calm and composed,
yeah.
I never interrupt you. I speak softly, which you'll notice I drop my voice almost all the time, because I want to calm your nervous system. Because if your nervous system isn't calm, the receptors in your brain are not switched on. So if I go, Jackie, this is how it's got to be, you'll hear it, but the receptors won't, because I've just agitated you, and that's caused cortisol and adrenaline to pump, and now we're really...
Yes, that's right.
And all of your receiving mechanisms shut down. And all it takes is for me to go, well, how about if we were?
Is it possible to have a really successful conversation when only one half of the conversation is employing those techniques of being calm and doing the breathing mm-hmm. and maintaining that sort of yep. level yep. voice?
I think now we're down to pure mathematics. At one end of the cycle, we've got a massive population of people who are stressed, anxious, panicked, depressed, and personality disordered. So we can go 15% are in that category at conservatively.
Yeah.
I've got to accept I may not be successful there. So I've got to be calm, do what I can and get out
mm-hmm.
and forgive myself for not being successful if I haven't been. Mm-hmm. In the middle, there's a group of people who are doing nothing else, Jackie, except habitually doing what they've been doing for the last 10 years, which is rushing, being busy. And I'm so busy, I'm always cutting people off and I've never got time. And therefore, it inadvertently creeps in. And then there's a group of people sitting, waiting, oh my goodness, I just want somebody to acknowledge me and ask me a question.
Mm.
And actually not jump in with their opinion or view or criticism, but honour and value my contribution. Now, you know, I've been doing this for nearly 40 years, and there's no question in my mind that if we put those simple processes in place, right environment, decide on the state I want to be in. See, most of us lead our lives feeling and being in reaction to what happens to us.
Mm.
Instead of me going, I'm just going to sit here and be the objective observer while I participate in this and notice what they're doing. And when somebody gets agitated, I go, inside my head, I go, seems like they're not very happy.
Mm.
And we just jump in and get caught up in other people's. And if we could just take a breath, sit back in the chair and go, I'll just wait just a moment.
Alan, it's been lovely meeting you. And we,
you
deserve a whole conversation hour, really. But but
you.
I don't have that yeah. luxury, unfortunately. But if you would like to explore more of what Alan has to say about communication and those skills that you can develop, particularly in relation to family business, next week at the Frenchville Sports Club, Alan will have a 2-day family business workshop. Register for that by going through the FBA, and the number is 499-2823.